All right, welcome to episode 29 of the Tag Teamers podcast. It's Thursday, so we're going over everything that happened on AEW Dynamite last night, everything noteworthy at least. What's the first thing you want to go over?
We'll go over the development with the Casino Gauntlet. Orange Cassidy wins, beats Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong to secure the number one spot. Are you okay with Orange winning, or would you rather O'Reilly or Strong?
Yeah, I'm okay with Orange Cassidy winning. What about you?
I'm okay with him being in the match, but I was hoping O'Reilly would win this. I'm not sure if these other two are not going to be in the match at all. They didn't really clarify whether it's, you know, just the number one spot or the participation in the match alone. But the triple threat was pretty good. But honestly, I'm over the Orange Cassidy shtick. I think he needs to reinvent this. This match, O'Reilly and Strong were cooking, and every time Orange got involved, I felt like it took away. The slouch gimmick has ran its course. 5 years is just too long with this gimmick, and I think it's time to move on.
Do you have any ideas for a different direction he could go?
Just anything. Honestly, the laziness just isn't doing it for me anymore. I feel like all the creative fun spots have kind of been done 2-3 years ago, and I just feel like we're doing the same stuff now.
Yeah. Do you think AEW is getting a hint about that?
I don't think so, because they keep putting him in these spots. That's why, you know, he wins the match. I think Tony Khan really is a fan of his work. Like a few years ago, Tony Khan dressed up as Orange Cassidy for Halloween. So I think he's just a, you know, almost a mark of Orange Cassidy himself. But I'm not sure that they are aware. But I feel maybe I'm in the minority, but I just think it's time to do something different there.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I don't have much of a problem with him winning, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he'll be all right in the match, but, you know, since he's first, we'll probably have to watch, you know, him do his thing early on in the gauntlet, throughout the gauntlet, and I'm just tired of it, but it is what it is. I think Strong and O'Reilly deserve to be on the All-In card, so I'm a little disappointed, but I'm not too upset because I know AEW likes to put Orange Cassidy in these big-time matches.
Yeah.
I mean, that one thing, too, is they're leaving questions with the gauntlet, which I don't like. They didn't mention how many people are going to be in it. They haven't mentioned any other participants, which I'm okay with it being completely random on who's in it, but I want to know how many people are in it going in. And I find it kind of weird that right now, you know, we're 10 days out and we only have one person announced for it. I'd rather nobody have been announced than one person. We could transition to the tag title match. The Acclaimed challenge the Young Bucks, gets interrupted by FTR, sets up FTR versus the Acclaimed on Collision, number one contenders match. I'm not happy with this direction either. I think the Acclaimed don't belong, you know, in a tag title match. I think at All In, I don't think FTR and Young Bucks, I don't think anybody's clamoring for that again. We saw that last year at All In. I feel like those two teams in their matches just haven't clicked anyways. So AEW's tag division is a far cry from what it used to be, because it 4 or 5 years ago, it was easily, you know, the best part of AEW. Now we've got three or four teams that are worth a damn, and they've all been matched up several times.
Yeah, I agree. And I think since they've implemented the trios titles, it's weakened the tag division too. So that's not helping.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the teams have moved into the trios division, just add a third member, or the current factions just moved over there. I think a trios title with tag titles is just too much, and there's not enough teams and factions to go around for that much gold.
Right.
Speaking of the trios titles, we get the segment with Christian backstage. Christian remains the MVP of AEW for me. I think he's got the best segments week after week. Mama Wayne holding the trios titles, perfect for me. Obviously, he tells Renee to scurry. I would imagine we're probably leading towards Moxley, Claudio, and Yuta challenging for the trios titles, maybe at All Out. You know, Moxley's been absent. I would imagine he's going to step up for Christian talking to his wife that way.
Yeah. And the other thing to notice is Mama Wayne holding the title instead of Killswitch.
Yeah, which we'll see when that comes to be something for Killswitch. Obviously, when Christian held the TNT title, even though Killswitch was the champion, now the trios thing's happening. I would imagine eventually he's going to have enough and we're going to get that match. But right now, I don't want to see these guys lose the trios titles. I want to see them keep it for a while. Because as I said, I really do think Christian's the best part of AEW TV.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. What, like, you really think he's the top guy in AEW? Why?
I just think he's the most entertaining. I think he tells the best stories. I think he's one of the best guys on the mic, if not the best guy on the mic in AEW. I think he tells great, great stories within his matches as well.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, whoever the most entertaining person is who the top guy is.
Yeah, absolutely. And Christian, I mean, he's plug and play anywhere. He's done it in the mid-card title scene. He's challenged for the world title, main evented pay-per-views. Now he's killing it with the trios division. I think he's tremendous everywhere.
Do you think he got way better when he got to AEW? Or do you think he could have done this in the WWE?
I think just the handcuffs came off. Some guys, you know, they're better. Yeah. They're better when they have control over their own direction and their own freedom. And, you know, he was forced to retire for a few years because of the concussion. So I think maybe just this whole comeback, he's just got essentially like a new lease on his career, and he just views it as, I can just throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. And I always think Christian's been better as a heel. He's always been better playing that like smug prick than being a babyface. And I feel like his later years in the WWE, they were trying to push him as a face, which he's good even as a face, but his best work's always been done as a heel. You want to talk Swerve Danielson next? I mean, we get the video package with Danielson. They're really trying to put it in your head that this could be it. Did this make you believe any more so that he might lose, or didn't change anything for you?
No, it didn't change anything for me in terms of what I think is going to happen. But I thought the video package was good. You know, when I was watching it, like, I felt a little bit moved and everything. So that was good. I thought, you know, it was a good video package. It was effective. It did what they wanted it to do, aside from making me think anything differently about what will actually happen in the match. But no, I thought that added to the build for sure.
Yeah, one thing that AEW lacks in normally is production. They can't match up with WWE in terms of production. Even with video packages, they don't have a good history. But I think that this was some of their best work. This really did showcase Danielson's career. And it could kind of raise doubt, because if Danielson ended his career at All In and then that was the video package, I think that'd be fine. But yeah, I like that the career being on the line, they're actually putting these video packages together and telling this story, rather, because a lot of times in wrestling history, the career's on the line, and then they don't actually present it in a way that the guy could be and might be retiring, whereas I feel like this video package did serve that purpose.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's like if somebody says their career's on the line, but there's no, you know, it's not being commemorated in a way that actually makes you think there's a chance that it's going to end, then yeah, you know, it's not going to.
Right. So good on AEW for doing that. I mean, Swerve beated Wheeler Yuta in the main event. Wheeler Yuta does not belong in the main event of any show. Especially their flagship show, Dynamite. I think he sucks, and I think we could have used Swerve a little better, you know, being 11 days away from the biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah, it is what it is, just a little pawn. But yeah, they didn't do a whole lot for me. More so just, you know, Swerve kicking Danielson in the face at the end while he's helping his friend. I feel like that's more important than the actual match.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, Wheeler Yuta is a part of the same faction as Danielson. So,
right.
You know, it happens where the champ will beat up, you know, the henchman kind of thing. But Yeah, I would have liked maybe to have just seen Swerve on the mic, you know, and kind of really put an emphasis on this, but that's okay with what we got. We got it next week for the go home.
Yeah, I'd rather that too. I don't see how a promo wouldn't have been better than the match.
Yeah, right. Speaking of promos, you want to jump into Jericho's and Hook's?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, honestly, like, I don't even remember what Hook and Jericho really said. I remember Hook saying that, you know, I can't see out of this eye, but I can see out of this eye. I want my title back, blah, blah, blah. Jericho comes out, and Hook has to face Big Bill. That's about it. You know, it's funny because when I watch AEW, a lot of times I'm like, oh, this is so much better than the WWE. And then afterwards, I mean, in situations like this, you know, when we're on here, I have really nothing I feel compelled to say about some of these segments. And a lot of times can barely even remember what happened. So, I mean, that's my sign that it's obviously not better than the WWE. Despite the fact that when I'm in the moment, I'm like, oh, this is. So that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, obviously this segment wasn't very good. Otherwise, I think I would have had a little bit more to say about it. But I mean, it was pretty bland.
Yeah, I mean, AEW, they do lack in storytelling. That's been their issue for their five-year history. They have great matches, but in terms of storytelling and building matches and promo segments, there's not really a whole lot going on. They're running the eye patch gimmick. They've done that several times, you know, in their short history. I'm kind of over it. I don't need it. They did put the stipulation on the match that if Hook wins or if Hook loses, he can't challenge for the FTW championship again. I hope that's what happens. This will be Hook's third time being the FTW champion if he wins. Jungle Boy had taken it from him. Hook won it back. Jericho took it from him now. I don't want to see that's just Hook's career is just losing the FTW championships to somebody and then just winning it back from them. That, you know, we need to go a different direction. If that's what we're going to do with the FTW title, just take it off TV. It's not even a real title to begin with. But if that's the purpose it's going to serve, I don't think that does anything for anybody. There's not a whole lot that Jericho says anymore. I would love to see him change the gimmick because other than the high guys, there's not anything coming out of his mouth that means anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could have done without this segment entirely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm with you. Mercedes, you want to talk Mercedes Britt?
Yeah, basically just the post-match part of it. Yeah. So, I mean, I liked the decoy thing with Camille. I thought that was good. But then after that, it just plummeted. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen. So Camille attacks the decoy. And then, you know, the crowd's freaking out. Mercedes has no clue despite the crowd cheering and everything. And then when Britt finally gets to the edge of the ring, Mercedes looks at her and has no reaction and then just looks back over to Camille. You know, like I think it was supposed to be like, oh, like what? Like a confusion type of thing. But she just looks, doesn't really do anything, like no reaction at all. Looks at Camille again with the decoy and then just goes and tries to hit her with the bamboo stick or whatever it is. And then the way Camille tries to break it up was even worse. Like just grabbing Mercedes' foot. And then I think she kind of like weakly pushed Britt off of her. I mean, that was so bad. So bad.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell did we build Camille up for the last several weeks of squashing people? If it's a 2-on-1 and you have a kendo stick and you can't even handle yourself, you're running away.
Yeah.
You know, Camille's running away. That's what she did. She pulls Mercedes out and they run away. Rather than attacking, you're this physical force that we've built up for weeks and it's 2-on-1. Why are you running?
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah, this was a big misstep. Big mistake. I don't think this did anything for any of them. I mean, it made Britt look strong, I guess, but Mercedes and Camille, I mean, that didn't help them at all.
No, that just it nuked everything from the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. The other big thing of the night, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, coffin match is set. Do you think coffin match was what we needed here? Did this match need a stipulation? Should they have saved the stipulation? Where are you at?
I don't think it needed a stipulation. But hey, I mean, I'm happy to see it. I don't really think, I mean, do you really need stipulations when you have Darby Allin? Or
no,
I mean, other than just you know, like a no DQ or whatever, but
yeah, I mean, the coffin match has kind of been his specialty so far in AEW, but it kind of seemed like something they could have waited, you know, like the first match could have just been a regular match and then it built to the coffin match. But I mean, I'm never going to complain about a stipulation.
Yeah.
So. I think it'll be a fun match. So, but I just think maybe they could have held off.
Yeah.
Ospreay MJF. Nothing.
Yeah, just a video package.
Nothing. 11 days out from your biggest pay-per-view, and this is the build for maybe the top marquee match on the card. That's
right.
What we get. Not a fan.
Yeah, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, like I thought the video package itself was decent, but I mean, why are they not on the show? I just don't understand.
Why is that video package
that should be
not shown next week? You know, like that's
yeah, or like why not just do both? I just feel like when you have MJF and Ospreay, it should be like when you're scheduling the show, you're writing it out or whatever. They're the first thing you put it, you know.
Should
it's like
be.
Everything else is at the mercy of that. That's not, you don't try to fit that in somewhere, depending on what everything else is. Like, that's the first thing you put in there on your clean slate. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, neither one of them. Neither one of them. That's the thing. Like, not only did we not get a face-to-face of some sort, we just don't even get either one of them. That's insane. I mean, two of your top stars are not on your flagship show building towards your biggest pay-per-view 11 days out. I don't know how nobody talks to Tony Khan and goes, hey, you know, maybe we should get one of those guys on the card at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, imagine, you know, you got Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, the second to last SmackDown before WrestleMania, and neither one of them are on the show.
Yeah, right. They're just showing a video package.
Yeah.
Incredibly stupid. Incredibly stupid. And then, to top it off, I mean, I have to watch Wheeler Yuta in the main event, but I don't get to watch MJF or Ospreay. It's just, I don't know why some of this stuff was on this episode, but we leave that off of, because this was heavy on the video packages. I felt like, I mean, we got the Danielson, we got this one, but maybe break it up, you know, one this week, one next week. It's just, I don't know. I just can't believe that's what they did.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like I said, the video package was decent, but, you know, you got to have the guys on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the video package should be served to fill people in on the story, right? That's kind of the point. Agree? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, next week they're going face-to-face. The story's not even fully told. You know, like, to me, once that face-to-face happens, then if you want to compile a video package and put that, you know, on Rampage or Collision or wherever you want to put it, then that makes sense. But to do it before the final segments of them two being face-to-face are done, it's just... just doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Don't know what Tony's doing. Somebody needs to get in his ear.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the ratings keep dropping for a reason.
Yep.
We also get the backstage segment of Claudio and Okada. This also was stupid. Okada calls Claudio a bitch. And then just walks away, and Claudio stands there for another 30 seconds talking on the mic. Just made him look weak, made him look stupid. Their match is official for Dynamite next week for the Continental title. Should have been saved for All In. I'm not sure what we're doing with Okada. I mean, he's one of the top paid guys in AEW. And again, we're 11 days out of the biggest pay-per-view, and he doesn't even have a match set. Doesn't make sense to me. I'm sure they'll put on a great match. You know, they are two of the best workers in AEW, but I mean, we need story for Okada heading into All In. But other thing from the night, Hangman, Jay Lethal. Anything you got to say about that?
So like why is it's like all they talk about is Hangman and Swerve, and he's not even fucking wrestling the guy. You know, the whole time, all they're talking about is Hangman and Swerve. He's not even wrestling or the guy, and he's only wrestling Jay Lethal because of Jeff Jarrett. So, like, it's just fucking dumb. It's like when I'm watching it, why? I just don't understand it. He's wrestling this guy, and all they talk about is this other guy who he hasn't touched or even talked to, I don't think, in weeks. So.
That's fucking crazy, dude. That's funny.
Like, is that a common complaint or?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I think that just shows more of Tony Khan's booking, you know? I mean, like, Hangman, Jeff Jarrett's been building for weeks, and that match still isn't even official.
Like, the guy is, he's in there pounding on Jay Lethal, and all I hear from the announcers are, Swerve this, Swerve that, Hangman, Swerve, Hangman can't stand Swerve, he wants to get back at Swerve, he hates Swerve, he can't wait to kill Swerve. And it's like I'm trying to be confused. They're trying to just make it so I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why we've got nothing official with Hangman and Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's all I got. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that. So,
well, I don't have anything else with that myself. So,
all right. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to like, comment, subscribe. What are the other things? Follow, leave a review. Yeah. Depending on wherever you're watching or listening. We'll be back with our Friday Night SmackDown recap and perhaps another episode in between before then.